Good morning. That was a wimpy good morning. Good morning. Oh, that's a better good morning. Turn in your Bibles, please, to James chapter 1. James 1. I'd like to say that you folks who are here in summer school are heroes. You're valiant soldiers. Your friends are somewhere at a Christian camp just having fun, enjoying life, and you're here developing your intellect. You're to be commended for that. I can empathize with you. I sat where you sit, not literally, but figuratively, both in high school, public schools in New York City. I went to summer school, and I did all of my grad work for my master's degree during summer school. Please feel sorry for me, as I do for you. Back in those days, we took one class for 2 weeks, and the class met 5 hours a day, from 7:30 to 12:30, then we had a short lunch, then from 1:15 or 1:30 for another hour. One time I was teaching in the room below us, and I taught for 4 hours. And the fifth hour, I sat because I had a guest speaker come in. And I said, oh, mine. I've sat here for 1 hour, and it's been so hard to sit here for 1 hour. And these students of mine sit here for 5 hours at the time. So I empathize wholeheartedly with you. Let me ask you a quick question. What do you think of liars? People who don't tell the truth. Are they your favorite people? Are they people that you perhaps are not too crazy about? What do you think of liars? I hope the person next to you is not a liar. What do you think of liars? You know, liars cause grief to parents. I had three kids that are grown and on their own now, but from time to time they lied to me. I was in school administration for almost 20 years. And I've called students into my office and they would lie to me. Once in a while, I even had teachers in my office who would lie to me. The Bible says the devil is the father of all liars. The first time we see him in the Scriptures, back in Genesis, what is he doing? He is lying. But, today I want to talk about a lie that's even more grievous, more serious, a lie that has eternal consequences, and that is the lies that we tell ourselves. Self-deception. We're good. I am, at least, very good at deceiving myself. We deceive ourselves in many areas, but we'll look at three very quickly, and then we'll read our passage and talk from the passage. And I'm supposed to be finished by 10 after, so I'll try to speak fast, you listen fast, and we'll get through this. I'm not trying to break any records. I'm trying to respectfully handle God's Word so it profits us. I think many people lie to themselves regarding their spirituality. I am spiritual. I have arrived. And in the Scriptures, we have a church. Perhaps some commentators think this church represents the church of the last days, the church of Laodicea. They thought they had arrived. I am rich. I am good. I have arrived. Perhaps they had a list of things that they did. Ta, 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 ta. I have my list. Well, so did the Pharisees. And God had, of course, a whole different opinion of them. He tells them, You're wretched. You're not spiritual. You're not rich. You're not in need of nothing. You're wretched. You're miserable. You're poor. You're blind. You're naked. Perhaps this morning, many of us are deceiving ourselves regarding our spirituality. We think we're spiritual because we do. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm in church every time, etc., 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 etc. But are we really spiritual? The second deception oftentimes occurs, especially today, in the area of how we serve God and our service for God. If I do something for God, He'll be happy. He'll be thrilled that I've done this for Him. No matter how I do it, He'll be thrilled that I did this for Him. That affects the way we worship many times, the way we dress, the kind of music that we use. Well, God ought to be happy with that. You know what the Bible says? When Paul is writing to his mentee, his son in the faith, Timothy, he says, unless a man strive lawfully, unless he plays according to the rules, he will not be crowned. He will not be blessed. So we don't just do anything any old way and God will be pleased. If we're doing that, what are we doing? We're deceiving, ourselves. We have a track over here in front of the academy. If we're running a race, we don't cut across the field and get to the finish line and say, we arrived before everybody else did. No. You have to run on the given course. You have to run on the track. You have to play according to the rules. When He gives His last commandment in the Bible, go and teach all nations. Teach them what I taught you. About everything, about divorce, about money, about plans, about humility, and hundreds of other things. We have to play by the rules. And the third deception, wow. The third deception, self-deception. The Bible says, one day, many, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, in Your name we worked. In Your name we cast out demons. In Your name we prophesied. These aren't prostitutes. These aren't drug addicts. These aren't murderers. These are religious people. And the saddest eternal, with eternal consequences, words are, depart from me. I never knew you. But we did all these things. I never knew you. Wouldn't it be sad if a young person, an older person, went to church, did things in church, went to a Christian school, did things in the Christian school, supposedly in His name, for him to hear those words? Sorry, I never knew you. Depart from me. And anybody know what the next phrase says? Ye workers of iniquity. In God's estimation, and His is the one that really counts, in His estimation, these people are not saved. They're deceiving themselves. What a deception. If we're not doing what the Word says, we're deceiving ourselves. Let's read James 1, starting with verse 22. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway, right away, forgetteth what manner of man he was. But Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth, perseveres therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Reminds you a little bit of Psalm 1. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God is this, to visit the fatherless, the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the word. I have five truths from this passage. Five very important truths that show that we are not deceiving ourselves, whether it be salvation, whether it be service, whether it be sanctification. Five very, very important truths. And I don't know that I have time to cover them all, but we'll try, because they're so important. The first one we'll spend 3 seconds on. The first truth is caution. Caution. Don't deceive yourself. That's good. That didn't last very long, did it? The second truth, found in the same verse, there's a command. The command is, be ye doers of the word. Not hearers only. Not people who know it intellectually. Be ye doers of the word. Not hearers only. Be ye continually doing what the word of God says. Most of you are very young. You don't go to the doctor that often. I'm getting to the age that I'm going a little more frequently than I used to. Don't like to do it. But I go to the doctor, and he prescribes certain medicine for me. I go to the drugstore, I buy the medicine, and put it on my shelf, and it sits there. What good will that medicine do me? And whatever hurts is still hurting, and I go to the doctor again, and he says, did you take that medicine? No. Well, you're not going to get better if you don't take what I give you. The Word of God is to be practiced, not to be just learned. By the way, young people, do you need to hear another message on rock music? Do you need to hear another message on modest dress? Do you need to hear another message on honoring your parents? Do you need to hear another message about reading God's Word? Do you need to hear another message about separation from the world and many of their practices? I would say not. I think you know what's the right thing to do. But the problem is, I have that problem, you have that problem, is that we don't do it. The medicine just sits there. We need to take it off, take the cap off, and take it. The caution is, don't deceive yourself. The command is, be ye doers of the world. You know, this world is tired. Tired, up to here, with Christians who talk but don't walk the walk. A very famous, well-known, highly respected apologist tells in his testimony the following. I was in a state school. I was an agnostic, maybe even an atheist. And I set out to find out whether Christ really lived, whether he really resurrected. And he did all kinds of study, and he came to the conclusion that the biblical record is accurate. But you know what the next sentence in his bio says? That did not bring me to Christ. You know what brought me to Christ at a state college where I was? The testimony of a group of young people who loved God and loved me to God. They were doers of the word. They were walking epistles, seen and read by all men. They bore fruit. Love, joy, peace, etc. They loved me. An agnostic. Wow. What a testimony. This world is tired of words. They want to see action. They want to see action. May God help us to be not just hearers, but doers of the Word. Perhaps there are some areas in your life that you know that you need to be acting upon, not just agreeing with or knowing intellectually. The command, be doers. The caution, don't deceive ourselves. And then we see two different men, two different modes of compliance. The compliance of two different men. We see the first man, he comes to the Word of God. He looks at it. The Bible uses the metaphor of a mirror. By the way, all of you look so nice this morning. All of you, before you left, looked in the mirror. And you did whatever needs to be done. Some needed more work than others. And I looked in the mirror. And then, of course, I have a second check. My wife checks me out. Yes, you're good to go. The first man looks at the mirror and perhaps rationalizes. I don't really have a problem with this. And goes away and forgets. Doesn't do what the Word of God showed him that he needed to do. You need to comb your hair this way. You need to straighten out this attitude. You need to straighten out this action. You need to address the sin of omission. He just doesn't do it. He forgets. I wonder how often that happens in chapel, in churches, in our own Bible reading. We read it and we cross it off. We did our thing for the morning. But it doesn't change our lives. This world wants to see action, fruit, works, doors of the Word. Then we have a second man in verse 25. This man looks at the Word of God. And the Word of God, that mirror, reveals to him all the problems in his life. An attitude problem. An action. A lack of action. He says, "Oh, wretched man that I am. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me with that particular issue that you have revealed to me in your Word." And the Bible says, this man, this second man, the man who follows, not the one who forgets, but the one who follows. Anybody know what the next phrase says? He will be blessed in his deed. Again, almost a parallel to Psalm 1. Two men are contrasted in Psalm 1. And the one who meditates in the Word of God day and night shall be blessed. He'd be like a tree planted by rivers of water. He will flourish. The caution, don't deceive yourself. The command, be ye doers, continually doing what the Word of God says. The contrast here, a forgetful man and a man who follows. The last two verses give us three characteristics of the doer. Obviously, there are many, many more in other parts of Scripture, but three big ones are given here. Three characteristics of a person who is actually doing. And James, the brother of Christ, writing in this Proverbs of the New Testament book, explains them to us. The first one, of course, he's working toward that passage in the second chapter where he really gets into a discussion of faith and works. My works show the reality of my faith. Three descriptions of the doer. Number one, true. He calls it true religion. Real living. Real Christianity. The first one is the person's speech. If he bridles not his tongue, his religion is vain. Counts for nothing. Amounts to nothing. Our speech. And the Bible, of course, says that we speak from the abundance of the heart. So whatever we are here will come out with our lips. How is our speech? James later on spends quite a few verses in the next couple of chapters talking about the tongue, the equivalent of this book in the Old Testament, Proverbs, all kinds of verses regarding the tongue, regarding speech. What's our speech like? Here, away from here, away from parents, away from church. What is our speech like? One of the signs of being a doer is our speech, how we speak. And by the way, James tells us later on that the tongue can no man tame. We have to give it over to God. I love that hymn, "Take my life, let it be. Take every part of my body and use it for you. Take my lips." The second characteristic of a doer is service. Service out of love. Service to widows. Service to orphans. Elsewhere he talks about service to the poor. One of the themes of this book is the rich and the poor. The poor don't need words. The orphans don't need words. The widows don't need words. They don't need, "Well, be warm and filled. Good luck, buddy." No. A hungry person needs food. Actions. Works. Doing. A widow needs her windows washed, perhaps her lawn mowed. An orphan doesn't need words. He needs actions. He needs for somebody to love him. And praise the Lord for families who take orphans, who take foster children to ball games and so on and so forth, on vacations. They're demonstrating. They're being doers of the word. And the third characteristic is separation. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. And that's a huge concept, because there are so many things we need to be separated from the world in. So some of the characteristics of being a doer are these three, and of course many, many more. Are you a doer? Are you deceiving yourself? Caution, don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself. Command, be doers. The contrast, the forgetful hearer or the follower? And, of course, the characteristics, are they present in your life? Your speech. Your service to others. Your separation from the world. Of course, the question could be asked, how do I do all of this? Let's turn to chapter 4 very quickly in conclusion. How could I be capable, the capability of doing this? Well, verse 8 of chapter 4 says, "Draw nigh to God." Get close to God. How do you get close to somebody? By spending time with them. How do you get close to them? By taking interest in what they're interested in and spending time with them. And if we get close to God, you know what's going to happen? Chapter 1, verse 5, we don't have time to go there, but if any of you lack wisdom, He will give it to you. To be a doer. Chapter 3, verse 17 describes godly wisdom. Pure, peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, etc. If we draw nigh to God, He will give us wisdom. But you know what else He will do? We're told in the same passage, if we submit ourselves to Him, military term, put ourselves under Him, if we humble ourselves, you know what He will do? He will give us grace. You know what grace is? The ability to do what we need to do. Grace saves, grace keeps, grace sanctifies, grace enables us to serve. And as that famous hymn says, one day grace will take us home. Praise God for God's grace. And He gives it freely. It's almost redundant. He gives grace to the humble. And then, of course, the next chapter talks about prayer. The prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Caution, don't deceive yourself. Command, be a doer of the word. Contrast, which one of those two men are you? The forgetful, the follower. Characteristics, service, speech, separation. Capability, how am I capable to do all of this? Draw nigh to God. He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you grace. He'll hear your prayers. Wow. This world doesn't want words. Wants to see the reality of Christ. They will see our works and glorify the Father. Walking epistles, seen and read by all men. May God help us to be doers. Perhaps there's an area in your life that you're not a doer. May God help you to become a doer. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Your love. Thank You for this clear passage in the Scripture, a very practical passage that addresses what we need to be doing. How sad it would be to see people who are deceiving themselves about their service, about their sanctification, their walk with You. And how sad it would be to find out that some of us perhaps here will hear those damning words, "I never knew You. Depart from Me, You workers of iniquity." Lord, we pray that You would help us to check ourselves, to make sure we're not deceiving ourselves. Help us, Lord, to do things according to Your word, and help us to be doers of the word. May the world see the reality of Christ in our lives. We love You. We thank You for Your word. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You for the wisdom that You give. In Jesus' name, amen.